I tell you what, Satan's out for our ruin, and he tempts us in order that he might ruin us. But when the testings come and the trials come, those are God's ways. Those are God there to strengthen us and to build our faith. And man, the storms are going to come, and some are absolutely there, sent by the Lord, and of course some of our own making, but they're there to strengthen us. I love that song. Turn, if you win your Bibles, to Jeremiah chapter 18, and we'll, I always say it, and we end up not being short tonight, but I know it's Memorial Day weekend. Let's pray for our church family. We got lots of people out today traveling, and still think we ought to have a sign-up list, and only so many people are allowed to travel on certain weekends, you know. And then those who stay have to bring some of their family or whatever we trade out on visitors. It is good to have Brother Bob Stewart with us tonight. He was here this morning, and man, longtime pastor, founded the church there in El Paso, and preached for us a year or so ago. And we hate to see the Case family leave us. They'll be leaving us next Sunday. Of course, Brother Stewart is Miss Case's grandfather. So it's good to have him with us tonight. Jeremiah 18. Familiar passage, familiar subject. The potter and the clay. Look at verse 1, chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work in the wheels, on the wheels. Verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." I'm going to stop there, because this illustration is given various times throughout the Old Testament. Jeremiah here, Lamentations chapter 4. We also pick it back up in Romans chapter 9, also in Revelation chapter 2. And so this particular illustration for us is carried throughout the Scripture, even to the point of thinking about how God stepped down or stooped down and formed in the dust, from the dust of the ground, man, Adam, the clay of the ground, and made a statue and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We are clay. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, we all return back to the ground. And I think about that tonight as we think about the various storms in life, the various temptations in life, and how God is continuing to mold us and make us, and that we ought to surrender to that potter. Look there with me again. He says, "Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up or to pull it down or to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." So, he says, what nation does evil, I can pluck them up. What nation does good, I can bless them. And even in the blessing, if they stop doing what's right, I can draw back the blessing again. He's the potter. He can do anything. We're the clay. "Now, therefore, go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you." I'm going to judge you. Judgment is coming. This has already been told to them. They know it's coming. The prophet Isaiah, other prophets have already spoken it. Jeremiah has spoken it. Judgment is coming. The northern kingdom's been carried into captivity 100 years earlier. Now the southern kingdom is about to be carried into captivity by the Babylonians. It's going to happen. "This evil, I've framed this evil against you, and to devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." Get right. Come back. I love how God is continually pulling and encouraging those to come back. Get right. Even to the very last moment, he encourages Israel, listen, I'll turn from the evil that I have promised against you. I'll turn from it if you will just get right. If you will just do good. That's a merciful God, isn't it? A loving God. The nation of Israel had went about their own way, doing their own thing, worshiping other idols. And man, we could go into all the stuff that was going on. They were worshiping the creature and creeping things in the temple itself. They were worshiping the sun god out in the tent area, out in the outer court. They were worshiping the sun god. It was unbelievable what was going on. Jeremiah pronounced against them, judgment against them. They put him in jail. They tortured him. And he just kept preaching, didn't he? Well, one time he said, hey, I'm going to stop. And then he said, a fire burned in my bones. I couldn't stop from telling what God had told me to do. But he just kept warning them. And what does it say in verse 12? And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. And they didn't get right. And they did get carried into captivity by the Babylonians. God did send judgment. Oh, that we would heed the example of Israel, that we would not follow in their steps. By the way, Romans chapter 15 tells us that the Old Testament was written for our example, to show us, hey, this is what the nation... You know what? If this wasn't God's book and this was a Jewish book, I don't think I'd have left a lot of this stuff in there. But this stuff's in there for our example. It's there for our good. It's there to help us. Don't walk in the steps of Israel. Don't follow them. Let's pray. Lord, bless tonight. Bless the reading of your word. Help us, Lord, again to yield to your hand in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The first time I remember as a kid seeing a potter work on a vessel was at Mount Rushmore. Anybody ever do that? Go to Mount Rushmore. And I don't know if they still have it or not, but when I was a kid, there at Mount Rushmore, there in front of it, there was a potter, and he would sit there and work the deal. And I think you could do it for a certain amount. I don't remember. Dad never let us do anything, so didn't have no money. But I remember that, and just watching that person, I don't remember if it was a man or a woman, working that wheel and molding that and shaping that vessel. It's just an amazing thing. I've seen it on TV, watching people or individuals work on vessels, whether it's clay or other material. But it's amazing art, and I'm not good at it. I'm not good at anything that has to do with art or artistic ability, because I have zero. I can't. All I can do is draw stick figures. I can't. I barely draw a house. It's unbelievable. But to watch somebody craft a vessel, to watch somebody, my mom used to love Indian pottery, and my dad's got a ton of it. You know, every vacation she'd buy this or buy that Indian pottery. Beautiful vessels, painted and pretty. The Bible refers to us as clay, and that Jesus, or the Lord, is the potter. It is the potter who takes the instrument and shapes the clay as it's on the wheel. It's the potter who molds the clay. It's the potter, even from the very beginning, that's wetting it and even putting it and shaping it. I mean, it's the potter that does the work. It's the potter who has control. It's the potter who finds the clay. It's the potter who, as he's shaping it, removes the stones and the rough substance from it. It's the potter who shapes it and however he sees fit. Right, the clay doesn't get up and say, "You can't shape me into that." I don't want to be a pot. I want to, you know, I want to be a. I want to say ashtray, but that's not a good way to. I don't know why that came to my mind, but I don't want to be a big pot. I want to be a tea kettle. I don't know. Anyway, you know, the clay doesn't rise up and say, "I want to be something else." The clay is shaped into whatever the potter wants it to be shaped into. The clay has no say. It has no say. Found by the potter, shaped by the potter. It is the instrument of the potter, whether it's his hands or that or the knife that they use that gets the rough substances out of it, whether it be stones or sticks or whatever as they work with the clay. It is the potter who has control and who's in charge of the clay. Jeremiah 18 gives us a depiction of that from Israel's standpoint. In other words, God is the potter, Israel is the clay. But that same illustration is carried on over into the New Testament. And I'll just read the verse here in a moment, but Romans speaks of it. Again, Revelation chapter 2 speaks of it. Timothy also speaks of it. I mean, there's several places where this illustration is used. And the illustration is this. The potter, the clay, is to illustrate the ease in which God is a control of our lives. That He is an absolute, in other words, and the first thing would be, He punishes them. That's what it says here in 18. If you don't do right, I am going to punish you. I am going to seem evil against you. And guess what? He followed through with what He said because He sent the Babylonians. He used them as His instrument. Again, the ease and the illustration is the ease of God punishing the wicked. Listen, folks, we reap what we sow. Remind you that. We reap what we sow. By the way, that principle is not just for saved people. That's also for lost people. That principle applies to everyone. It'll eventually come around. If that eventually means them dying and going to hell, that's the eventually. I want to remind you that David said that many times, didn't he? David would look out and say, why do the wicked prosper? And then he would be reminded of the blessings that God had upon his life, but also be reminded of eternity. Listen, we're going to have all eternity in heaven. And if that's all we receive, that's worth it all. Amen. That little song, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, is absolutely true. But again, the punishment of the wicked, that God is the control of the clay, and that we do absolutely reap what we sow. Jeremiah 19, verse 11 says, "And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no burying place." He said, break the bottle in their sight, break the clay pot in their sight, and this is what God will do to you. And again, reminder tonight, as we go throughout our week, as we go throughout our life, that God absolutely can do to us whatever He wills. He is the potter. And therefore, in light of that, the application is, we ought to do right. If He can pluck up and He can put down, then we ought to do right. Solomon said at the end of his life, all is vanity, all is useless, except to what? Fear God and keep His commandments. We all could use a little dose of fear of God. We really could. We sin because we don't fear God. We really don't. We say we reap what we sow. We understand the principle. But because sometimes the reaping doesn't happen until a little while later, it doesn't affect us as much. Amen? All of y'all want me to move on from this point. But we reap what we sow. The potter shaping us and molding us. All right. We think about the illustration here. We think about, again, as I preached before out of Timothy, and we won't preach that whole sermon again, but it's the cheapness of the product or the cheapness of the materials that is being used. It's clay. It's dirt. Let's go get some. Except I wouldn't use this black stuff around here. I go over there to Springtown, use some of that good dirt. But shaping it, cheap stuff. And again, in Israel, or in that day in which this is being written, I mean, clay pots were used for everything. Clay pots were used for the trash can. Clay pots were used to carry precious stuff in. Clay pots were used to other things that we don't want to talk about. I mean, clay pots were used for everything. You could buy clay pots. They were cheap, very cheap. Be like us going buy Tupperware. I don't know. The cheapness. We speak about, again, though It is cheap. Many of the pots carried precious things. Sometimes it's trash, whatever the case is. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Brother Wiggins touched on this the other night. We have this treasure. What treasure? That New Testament ministry. Paul in the previous chapter, and there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, said the New Testament is more glorious than the Old Testament, that the New Covenant is better than the Old Covenant. And he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This New Testament ministry, this New Covenant, this New Contract, we have it in earthen vessels. That word earthen means a cheap clay pot. I am a cheap clay pot. We have a tendency today to put too much stock in ourselves. And it's taught to our children in school. I know I refer to it a lot, but when I was in the eighth grade, we had to watch a self-esteem video. And I remember every aspect of it. Some little kid, real skinny kid, picking up rocks and building a wall. And the whole time he said, "You can do it, Duffy Moon." That was his name, Duffy Moon. "You can do it, Duffy Moon." It's all about, "You can do it, you can do it, you can do it." Listen, you can't do it without the Lord. I'm not talking about picking up rocks. I'm talking about life. I believe the Bible teaches that if you're right with God and you're walking in His steps and you're keeping your eyes on Jesus, everything else falls in place. Even how you think of yourself. In fact, our Bible says we ought not to think of ourselves at all. That's totally opposite of humanism. Totally opposite of the self-esteem movement. Listen, you put your trust in Christ, everything else falls in place. Now, I don't mean you should beat up on yourself, but if you have a proper view of the Lord, you'll have a proper view of yourself. I could spend a little more time here, but our value is not found in ourselves. Our value is found in our relationship with the Lord. We are cheap clay pots. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that what? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. Paul said that we are cheap vessels that God uses to carry out this New Testament ministry in order that He might get the credit and we won't. That He might get the credit and we're not to get the credit. He uses cheap clay pots in order for Him to show His power and not our power. It's not about our talent. It's not about our ability to speak or sing. And I appreciate Caleb. That was awesome a while ago. I don't know that I've heard him sing that good before. That was awesome. But it's not about the talent. That was awesome. It's not about the talent. God uses, and it's amazing to me. I'll be careful how I say this tonight, but it's amazing to me how many times in the last 24 years of ministry almost that I'll see someone and I'll say, "Man, God could really use them. Look at everything they have. Look at all the talent they have. Look how God has just blessed them beyond measure." And it amazes me how more often than not, they end up not being used. And it's usually the guy that I think or the lady that I think, "Man, I don't know. I'm not sure that person can ever, or that person or whatever." Hello? And then God uses them immensely. Amen. It's amazing. I can think of several illustrations right now. Yeah. Some of you would name the same names. Doyce Walton?
Amen. Yeah.
You know, I know he's smart. He's book smart. He's an engineer. But a man can't, you know, when I first met him, he couldn't hardly say two words together, you know, without being so, you know, shy about it. And he's up preaching in Boise, Idaho. He texts me nearly every week, or every Sunday. He texted me earlier and said, "Hey, double digits every Sunday morning this month. First time.
Yeah.
Never went below 10. He was excited, man. I'm like, "That's awesome," and amen, and hallelujah. But, you know, God, Doyce can't sing his way out of a bucket.
Yeah.
He's John Reed.
Amen.
I always pick on John, but he can't sing. I mean, I'm telling you, he cannot sing. And yet he's leading music, and thankfully his wife plays and sings well. But God uses all sorts of vessels. And many times He uses those we may consider unfit or weak because He wants to get the glory from it. I'm telling you, it amazes me. I've heard many a preacher talk about how they were nothing. God brought them about, you know. just amazing. And it's not just preachers. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers and Christians. Listen, God can use you.
Amen.
God can use you. And you'd be amazed what God could do with you if you'll just Amen. Put yourself in the hand of the potter. You can teach a Sunday school class, right? You can help with the children's church. You can help in the kitchen. Maybe some of you have a green thumb and need help with the yard. I don't know what it is, but God has a place for everybody to be used. But remembering that it's His power, not ours. I could tell other stories, but I've always said I want God to do something with Heritage that can't be explained by human effort. I think we see it. This is not come about because of somebody. It's come about because of someone, the Lord. God's good. If anything, I've learned more and more. I continue to learn my ineptness. Is that a good word? The more I read the Bible, the bigger it gets to me. The more I think I don't know,
Amen.
And the more in life that I think, well, maybe I've got this conquered or that conquered. I found out I don't, and I just find out that I've got to lean upon Him.
Yeah.
You want to get emotionally drained? Stop leaning on Him. You want to get physically drained, even to that extent, stop leaning on Him. We need Him. That's what Paul was saying. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we need Him, that God might get the glory. By the way, we're bringing glory in our life to Him in everything. And then we think about not only the cheapness, we're just cheap clay pots, but we think about the power of the potter over the clay. The power of the potter over the clay. Romans 9:21 says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" God has the power over the clay. Absolute power. God is all powerful. And I think about it, even if you turn to the next, we're not going to do it, but you turn back a page there in Jeremiah. Listen, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And that's what it says in the previous chapter. He says, listen, you're going to complain about whether or not God hardened Pharaoh's heart? I'm sorry, that's in Romans chapter 9. That's the conversation that's happening in Romans 20 or 9:21, where he says, can I not take a lump of clay and do with it as I would? And he uses Pharaoh as the example. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You question whether or not that was right or wrong? He's God. He can do anything He wants. God can do anything He wants. He is all powerful.
Amen.
All powerful. God is the potter. We are the clay. And we need to place ourselves in the hands of the potter. We need to surrender completely to Him. God is in a position as the potter to punish us. He's in a position to take something precious or something gross and use it. He's in a position of power as the potter, and we are to surrender to Him. Surrender to the potter. Complete surrender to Him. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art the potter, and we will all are the work of Thy hands." He's the potter. He's the Father, but He's also the potter, and we are the work of His hands. We must, as Christians, surrender to His will. And then we think about the purpose of the potter as He molds and shapes us, is to mold us into the image of His Son. Romans 8:28, most of you know the verse. God works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, that He might conform us. 29 says that He might conform us to the image of His dear Son. Every trial that you face, every testing you face, is the potter conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. That's it. So every loss of a loved one, every health problem, every relational problem, every job scare, every financial issue, every trial that comes into your life, God is using in some way or another to shape you and mold you. Again, when you got saved, God didn't promise to take all your problems away. God did promise to take you through the problems, to guide you through the problems, to encourage you through the problems. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But God is using the various testings and trials in our life to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to yield to that and surrender to that potter and allow him to mold us and make us and shape us into the image of his dear son. By the way, that is the goal of every Christian. My goal as a Christian is to glorify God and enjoy a relationship with him forever. How am I going to glorify God? By following in his son's steps. Following and being an imitator of Jesus Christ. Be a Jesus follower, amen? I want to follow in his steps every day, not just Sunday. I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight. Not just Wednesday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I go to church and I live a life that's pleasing to him. I go to work and I live a life that's pleasing to him. My co-workers know that I'm a Christian. That's how I should live my life. Used to, if you were a Christian, they wouldn't cuss around you. That's not the truth anymore. But used to, when you're a pastor, they wouldn't cuss around you. That's not the truth anymore. But they should know. And we should live a life that's pleasing to him. We should surrender not just Sunday and Wednesday nights, but every day to the Lord. Surrender to the potter and allow him to shape us and mold us into the image of his son. Every day. A vessel unto honor. I want to be a vessel unto honor. Spurgeon said this. He said, I'm helpless like the clay which cannot fashion itself. I can't fashion myself. I am worthless like the clay that is of no value. I am filthy like the clay underfoot. But he says this. He says, but thou art the potter. A potter can make fine things even of clay. Vessels of honor out of dishonorable earth. Lord, mold me and make me. I have no power. I will be the clay. Be thou the potter. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. I know Miss Linda sings a song about this as well. My mom used to sing a song called another one, A Vessel of Honor. Being a vessel of honor. Look at verse 20, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Right? Some are used for a trash can, and others are used for holding precious, you know, ointment or a precious oil or whatever the case is. Look, I said oil instead of oil for you from the north. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, unlike this one, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want to be a vessel that God can use. I want to be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use. Fit, that's what it means. Fit for the master's use. Are you fit for the master's use? Are you a clean vessel that God can use? Are you a moldable vessel? Are you yielding and surrendering to God as he molds and shapes you? This vessel under honor means to be set apart to God. It speaks of being sanctified and wholly separate from the world, but not just separated from the world, but separated from the world unto God. Right? Being separated from the world, if you're just separated from the world, that's Phariseeism. That's being a Sadducee, a Pharisee. We ought to be separated from the world unto God. Amen. There's a purpose there in our lives. Listen, we as Christians, we as believers, we as imitators of Christ need to be ready to do good works. He said to Israel, just come back and do good. Come back to me and do good. But they chose not to. And God punished them for it. Come back. Come back to the Lord. Surrender to him through right living. And then he will prepare us unto every good work. I want to be a vessel unto honor. Meet, set, meet, used for the master's, fit for the master's use. I want God to be able to use me. There's times where I'm not clean like I ought to be. And I can tell it. Can't you? I can tell. I want to be fit for the Master's use. I want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. I don't always yield to what God wants in my life. I'm stubborn. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not stubborn. But I always, you know, there's always a plan. I've got it figured out. I did my things to do sheet yesterday for this week. I mean, I got this week planned out. I'm ready to go. Right? Some of you are that way. I want to know what I'm doing. What am I doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? I'm ready to go. So sometimes in my life, I don't yield like I ought to yield. Because I got my plans, right? Yeah. Nobody else is, am I preaching to myself? I mean, everybody else is good. You know, you, no, I got my plans. Teenagers, you got your plans, right? Well, let's yield to His plans. And when he wants to make a move, we need to be surrendered enough to yield to whatever He would want us to do. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. I just simply want to yield to whatever He would want me to do. Put yourself in the hand of the potter. Just a good illustration. Won't be the last time we preach on it. Certainly won't be the last time. See it in Jeremiah. See it in the book of Revelation. See it used by Paul. See it used by John the Revelator. It's a great illustration. Let us this week be moldable in the potter's hands. Let us be fit for the Master's use. Let us be a vessel unto honor. Let's all stand. Hymn 542. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Lord, we thank You tonight for, again, Your love for us. We thank You for the mercy that You displayed and showed to Israel, the nation. And we're thankful that You give us that same mercy and grace. But Lord, we pray that we would not abuse that grace. And God, that we would put ourselves in Your hands. Surrender and yield to whatever You would have us to do. Lord, help us to be clean vessels. Help us to be fit for Your use, honorable vessels. Help us again to follow in Your dear Son's steps. We thank You, Lord, for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.